Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and podcasts of prior shows are available there as well under Public Affairs. Again, that's wdiy.org. Today is August 5th, 2020. The markets were up today, the Dow closing at 27,201, the NASDAQ at 10,998, and the S&P at 3,327. Tonight, our topic is Regulation BI, or Best Interest. What is it? What does it mean? You might be getting paperwork in your mailbox and wondering what it is. Well, I hope to clarify a few of those things tonight. Might sound not that interesting, but it could be interesting. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, give your question to Lori, and she'll write it down and bring it into the studio. If you have more lengthy questions or private questions, you can certainly email me through yourfinancialchoices.com. And Jim, if you're listening, I did just see your email this evening right before I was leaving and started to respond to it and realized I was going to be late, so I had to leave in the middle of it. So Jim, I'll respond to your email and question separately, and that was relating to unrelated business income reported on a K-1 that is for a partnership interest held within an IRA. So I will respond to you separately on that. So when we are talking about Regulation BI, or best interest, that's really lingo, I would say, that we're probably more aware of as financial representatives, financial advisors in the financial industry. It's something that is impacting us more. And I think that where this kind of all stemmed from was a Department of Labor fiduciary rule that was getting promoted some time ago. So let me give you a little bit of history here. People can invest on their own, or they can work with a professional. And a professional may be a broker. You've heard of broker dealers of, back in the day, they'd say, call E.F. Hutton, broker. So you can have a broker or an investment advisor or both, if they're duly registered. And I think that there has been some confusion as to the difference in these professionals. So a broker was traditionally held to a suitability standard. So you could have a broker, they would help you with investments, but typically the investment would just have to be basically suitable for you. The recommendation didn't necessarily have to be in your best interest. Sometimes it wasn't the broker who's making the recommendation at all. Sometimes you just would call your broker and tell them to do a trade for you. So broker traditionally held to a suitability standard. They just had to make sure the recommendation was suitable for their client. While an investment advisor, which is someone who works under the supervision of a registered investment advisory firm, had a fiduciary standard, and that fiduciary standard is to act in the best interest of the client. So over the years, there's been an escalation of discussion on this and how it relates to who can call themselves an advisor without blurring the lines in what capacity the professional is offering recommendations. So folks or professionals on the RIA side, the registered investment advisory side, were saying, you know, we're truly advisors, and the people on the broker or dealer side, you know, how can they call themselves an advisor? You know, there's different rules and regulations and standards that they felt they were, you know, held to. So the regulation best interest is an SEC regulation to provide standardization to the conduct of broker-dealers and investment advisors. So this was prompted somewhat by the proposed Department of Labor, the DOL, fiduciary rule, which we heard about a lot. So the fiduciary rule was would have made all financial professionals fiduciaries when advising on retirement accounts. Okay, so that was, you know, all the talk. I mean, years ago, people didn't even know what fiduciary meant. Now, more recently, under these proposed rules that the Department of Labor wanted to put forth, it became more of a talking point. More people were aware of it. What is the fiduciary rule? What does fiduciary mean? And how does it apply? Well, the fiduciary, again, was that element of putting the client's interest first, and registered investment advisory firms regulated by the SEC already had that fiduciary rule apply to them. So investment advisors under the supervision of an RIA firm already were working under a fiduciary rule in doing advice. So again, it comes back up against who is doing what, and it's causing confusion for people, for, you know, retail clients, investors who are working with professionals that they may think are advisors held to this standard when they may not have been. So with that confusion, more work was needed. A lot of people concerned about the proposed DOL fiduciary rule and how it was going to apply, and how were advisors going to be able to give advice, and would advisors be handcuffed? So some background on the next step of this was on June 5th, 2019, the Securities and Exchange Commission adopted a package of rulemakings and interpretations designed to enhance the quality and transparency of retail investors' relationships with investment advisors and broker-dealers, bringing the legal requirements and the mandated disclosures in line with reasonable investor expectations while preserving access in terms of choice and cost to a variety of investment services and products. So this is from the SEC website. Let's see what else they said. Specifically, these actions include new regulation best interest, the new form CRS, relationship summary, and two separate interpretations under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. So individually and collectively, these actions are designed to enhance and clarify the standards of conduct applicable to broker-dealers and investment advisors, help retail investors better understand and compare the services offered, and make an informed choice of the relationship best suited to their needs and circumstances, and foster greater consistency in the level of protections provided by each regime, particularly at the point in time that a recommendation is made. So it sounds like the SEC kind of took a hold of this and said, you know what, let us sort through this all. Let's see if we can come up with something to help guide investors as to the information that they have to read and sort through that is being provided by investment professionals. And they have tried to provide some clarification to that, to not just for the investors, but also for the professionals giving the advice to help give us guidance in how we're working with clients. So I want to go over some of that tonight, what you're going to want to, you know, look for in those disclosures that they're providing, and see if it helps clarify anything for you. I'm thinking that some of these disclosures end up just, you know, getting tossed aside and not looked at. But I think it's really important that investors understand who they're working with and how they're working with them, and the disclosures that are to be provided. So when we come back, we'll continue our discussion on Regulation BI and this Form CRS. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. You can call in with questions if you have any. The phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can call in and give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio, and it can be off topic as well. It doesn't have to be about this particular topic this evening. What is the topic I'm talking about? It's Regulation BI, or best interest, but we're also talking about Form CRS. And I think that this can be somewhat confusing even for investment advisors. I can't imagine what it's like for individual investors. And some of this may apply and you may get information and some of it may not. So basically, let me boil this down. With the Securities and Exchange Commission, or the SEC, enforcing this regulation, best interest, they call it Reg BI, it is under the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. It establishes a best interest standard of conduct for broker-dealers and associated persons. So a broker-dealer is different than a registered investment advisory firm. So a broker-dealer and associated persons, meaning people who are registered or licensed to sell securities through that broker-dealer. So this regulation, BI, best interest standard of conduct, it, for broker, dealers, and associated persons, is when they make a recommendation to a retail customer of any securities transaction or investment strategy involving securities, including recommendations of types of accounts. Now, there is a definite cause for distinguishing between a broker-dealer and an investment advisor, and that is because the broker-dealer has this best interest regulation, and the registered investment advisory firms, they don't have this best interest regulation, so to speak, because they've already had this fiduciary standard for some time, but both are following under a requirement for a Form CRS, which is a customer relationship summary form. So I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, but that's where some of this distinction is. For example, one of the differences with the broker-dealer and the investment advisor, for years in the financial investment community, has been registered investment advisory firms and their investment advisor representatives are saying, you know, we're advisors. Can a broker call themselves advisor? Because quite often the people the retail clients would be working with advisors and say, my financial advisor. So here's one of the frequently asked questions on the SEC.gov website relating to this. And the question was, I am a broker-dealer. If I am not also a registered investment advisor, because you can be both, an associated person with a broker-dealer or an investment advisor under a registered investment advisory firm. In this question, I'm a broker-dealer, not registered investment advisory firm. May I use the term advisor or with an E or advisor with an O in my firm's name or title? And the answer is generally no. So this is a big change. The commission presumes that the use of the terms advisor with an E or advisor with an O in a name or title by a broker dealer that is not also registered as an investment advisor is a violation of the requirement to disclose the broker dealer's capacity under the regulation best interest disclosure obligation. Although the use of the term advisor in the name or title creates a presumption of a violation of the disclosure obligation, the commission did not expressly prohibit the use of these names and titles by broker-dealers. Broker-dealers may use these terms when they are acting in a role specifically defined by federal statute that does not entail providing investment advisory services to retail customers. For example, as a municipal advisor, commodity trading advisor, or advisor to a special entity. So I think they're seriously distinguishing that someone who is a broker is not acting as an investment advisory service or capacity to retail customers. In that capacity, they cannot use the term advisor. So a broker-dealer that provides advice in other capacities outside the context of investment advice to a retail customer may, in its discretion, use the term advisor and advisor with E or O. So, outside the context of investment advice. In most instances, however, when a broker-dealer uses these terms in its name or title in the context of providing investment advice to a retail customer without also being a registered investment advisor, it will be presumed to violate the disclosure obligation under the regulation best interest. You see why there will be probably some ongoing confusion for investment professionals, especially for brokers who got very comfortable using the term advisor, when they're going to have to be very careful going forward if they are not also duly registered as a investment advisor under a registered investment advisory firm. My goodness, very, very complicated. So from FINRA's investor education section of their website, and you can go to finra.org for more information on that. They have SEC regulation best interest inform CRS what you need to know. So we're kind of moving forward a little bit and understanding that brokers are different than investment advisors. The brokers have this regulation best interest, which they need to comply with under disclosure obligations, etc. But the SEC is also coming out and talking about even additional information. So on June 30th, new rules take effect that are designed to help retail investors better understand and navigate their relationships with investment professionals and make informed choices about the type of relationship for their needs and circumstances. The new Securities and Exchange Commission rules, among other things, enhance the standard of conduct broker-dealers must provide to their retail customers and require broker-dealers and SEC-registered investment advisors to provide a new relationship summary. That's called the Form CRS to retail investors. So the SEC, as of June 30th, 2020, has new rules that are designed to help retail investors understand and navigate their relationships with the investment professionals so that they understand in what capacity they're working with when they're working with an investment professional. Is it as a broker or is it as an investment advisor? And it's supposed to be clearer. Now, again, there could be times where an investment advisor, where an investment professional could be both. That's called duly registered. So there could be some people that you work with that could be both. So we'll talk a little bit about what the form CRS is and if it's worth looking at. Yeah, of course. When we come back, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me or off air, and it can be on whatever topic financial that you might have a question on. I do want to mention, and I apologize for not mentioning this at the top of the show, Lori and I ran in here tonight, and it's a little quiet in Bethlehem because ordinarily we wouldn't be here. We would be running a pre-recorded show because it is Music Fest this week. But because Music Fest is being held virtually, we thought it would still be okay for us to come in, and the traffic was not a problem this evening. But I did want to mention that ArtsQuest, who runs Music Fest and a lot of arts programming in our community, is obviously going to feel the impact of this with not having a million people coming into our community to participate in all the events that Music Fest has provided over all of these years. I think since 1984, I'm looking at their website right now. Since its inception in 1984, Music Fest has grown from roughly 180,000 attendees to more than 1 million. And the ArtsQuest, a board of trustees and foundation, have put out a matching gift campaign that they're promoting. So the Board of Trustees will match donations up to $500,000. So for any of our listeners who appreciate Music Fest and Arts Quest and for all they do in our community, there is a website, artsquest.org, that talks about the program that they have and how to contribute if you're interested in looking at that. So that's at artsquest.org. So good luck to ArtsQuest during their virtual Music Fest this week. And more information is on the website for that as well. Now, back to talking about Regulation BI and the customer relationship summary. I know this isn't the most intriguing topic and probably not one that most of us think really applies to us or impacts us, but indeed it does. It's very important to know who you're working with on your financial goals, on your financial path, and that is the point of these new regulations, to help investors understand, are they working with a broker-dealer or are they working with an investment advisor? And even with that, if you're working with either, they're trying to, provide disclosures that we can understand better, that might impact our decision making and who we're working with and how we're working with them. So the SEC's, and I apologize if some of this sounds a little tiny bit repetitive, but I thought it was really important to pull some information from FINRA.org, which is the regulated oversight for broker-dealers, and the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is oversight for registered investment advisory firms. So I kind of pulled some of this information from both of those sites. So the SEC establishes a best interest standard of conduct for broker-dealers and associated persons when they make a recommendation to a retail customer of any securities transaction or investment strategy involving securities, including recommendations of types of accounts. I had mentioned that before. As part of the rulemaking package, the SEC also adopted new rules and forms to require broker-dealers and investment advisors to provide a brief relationship summary, that's the form CRS, to retail investors. And this is what you might be getting in your mailbox. You could get it from your retirement account. It could be from your individual accounts, wherever you might have accounts at various custodians. All right. So it's form CRS, and it's being provided to retail investors. And that's they're starting to show up in mailboxes if you haven't already got one. So in addition, the SEC published interpretations concerning investment advisor standard of conduct under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940 and the solely incidental prong of the broker-dealer exclusion from the Advisors Act. So the CRS is required to include certain items, and it's going to follow a certain a required format. So if you get one from, you know, Fidelity and one from Vanguard, they will be similar formats. So follow a required format. It must be written in plain English and easy to read. It must be true and may not omit any material facts or be misleading. Should use charts, graphs, or other features to respond to the required disclosures. Formatting for conversation starters must make them more noticeable and prominent. So part of the regulation said that the registered investment advisory firms and the broker-dealers had to put this in conversation form on some of these items, what fees might I expect, like that type of thing. If the firm is duly registered, that is both a broker-dealer and investment advisor, the relationship summary may include both in one disclosure while clearly distinguishing them. So I happen to work at a firm that is duly registered, so our client relationship summary form includes both disclosures for our broker-dealer and our registered investment advisory firm. The firm must maintain records in accordance with the Advisors Act, and the initial filing must be filed with the regulatory authority. So this is going to get filed with the SEC and FINRA through the systems they use. That's too complicated to explain to folks. For investment advisors, the CRS must be delivered to each retail investors before or at the time you enter into an investment advisory contract with the retail investor. And broker-dealers must deliver the summary to each retail investor before or at the earliest of a recommendation of any account types, security transaction, or investment strategy, or placing an order for the retail investor, or pending of a brokerage account for retail investors. So the earlier of the three. Dual registrants must deliver the notice at the earlier of the two. The relationship summary must be updated within 30 days whenever information becomes materially inaccurate or communicated to clients within 60 days. And there are some additional delivery requirements for existing clients. And the summary must be posted on the advisor's broker's public website, and it can be delivered electronically. Whether it's electronic or paper, it must follow particular parameters set forth by the SEC. And the format covers several topics, which, you know, as we go into the second half of the show, I'll cover some of the items that are should be covered in the CRS, things that I think would be important for people to look at. And the first, the format that covers, first, the introduction, And this will describe if the financial professional is registered as an investment advisor or as a broker-dealer or as both. The relationship and services that are provided. 3, the fees, costs, conflicts, and standard of conduct. 4, disciplinary history. And 5, additional information, including where to find the advisor, telephone number, and how to request up-to-date information and request a copy of the summary. So when we come back from our halfway point here, I will talk a little bit about some of the details that are involved in a couple of these sections, relationships and services, and then a little bit about the fees and cost, etc. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Good evening, WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm Shondi Gray. It is 6:30 and 82 with clear skies. Lehigh Valley weather. Tonight is going to be mostly clear, low around 63. Thursday, we have a slight chance of thunderstorms, high 82. Thursday night, low around 66. Friday, more showers and thunderstorms, high 83. Friday night, low around 68. And for your Saturday, more showers, high 82. Saturday night, low around 64. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shondi. Welcome back, folks. You are here with me at WDIY 88.1. And if you have questions, you're welcome to call in. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with us. Or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Lori C. and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. And it can be on, it doesn't have to be on this topic this evening. I do want to mention next week I have a realtor coming on, Carrie Ward, and we're going to talk about real estate in the Valley, overview and tips, because it's really interesting to see what's going on from a realtor's standpoint. And we'll hear from Carrie about some tips if you are thinking about selling or if you're buying in the area, and kind of get a feel, a pulse of the what's going on in the Lehigh Valley. Seems like there has been there was kind of a backup of waiting to buy when, you know, the real estate, you know, we kind of had to close down for a little bit, and now it's been going crazy a little bit. And also maybe some information on financing and things like that. So that'll be next week with Carrie Ward. It'll be the first time I'm having a guest in since March. So we're being very careful here at WDIY. We have plexiglass between us and everything. So Shondi and I have plexiglass, and she's wearing her mask even as we're here, and she's 6 feet away probably. All right, so let's continue our discussion about a Regulation BI, or best interest, and in particular more about the client relationship summary that many of you are probably receiving in the mail and possibly, you know, glancing at it and just tossing it aside, but it might be worth looking at. I think it's just really important for people to understand and know when they're working with an investment professional, what capacity is it? And do you understand the differences? There is a difference between a broker and an investment advisor representative. And that is what, you know, the SEC is hoping would be clarified in this form CRS, or client relationship summary, or customer relationship summary. It could mean either thing. So that is going to include an introduction section, which describes the financial professional and how they're registered. So if you get the client relationship summary in your mailbox and you open it and you think you're working with, you know, a financial advisor, and it says that they're a broker dealer, and that's all they are, that would maybe be worth reading to understand what kind of services that they're going to provide. And if they are duly registered, then you would also see information relating to that and the services that are provided on that in that relationship. So, for example, the description of services, it's going to state what the investment professional offers. If it states that you offer brokerage services, investment advisory services, or both. And if it's to retail investors meaning, you know, like the general public, it's going to summarize the principal services, accounts, or investments that you make to retail investors and any material limitations. For broker dealers, they're going to state the particular type of principal brokerage services they offer to retail investors, which include buying and selling securities, and whether or not they offer recommendations to retail investors. All right. For investment advisors, it will state the particular types of principal investment advisory services that are offered to retail investors, including, for example, financial planning. So you're not going to see that on the broker-dealer side. So there's a difference, and that's why I think this was probably necessary to distinguish the types of services you're getting from the professional you're working with, and why it's important to read these form CRSs that are coming in the mail. It's amazing to me that people don't always know or understand the kind of investment professional that they're working with. I do think, too, that there was probably momentum for brokers to move toward the registered investment advisory side of the business when they saw this tsunami of a fiduciary expectations coming, you know, from what we saw from the Department of Labor and the fiduciary rule. So I think more people have moved this direction, but you don't know and you're not sure unless you read the disclosures carefully. So investment advisors also would need to describe in their services whether there is monitoring of their accounts. So explain whether or not you monitor retail investors' investments, including the frequency and any material limitations. If so, indicate whether or not the services described in your form ADV are part of standard services. So investment advisors who are associated with a registered investment advisory firm have a whole other slew of disclosures, which we call the brochure rule. If you've ever seen a form ADV part 2, that is disclosures that are required of investment advisory firms to provide to their clients as well. So some of these disclosures have already gone on for years, and now it's also going to be included in this client relationship summary, the form CRS, which may refer the retail investor to the ADV form because so many of these disclosures are already there. For investment advisors that accept discretionary authority, describe those services and any material limitations on the authority. Any such summary must include the specific circumstances that would trigger this authority and any material limitations on that authority. So let me tell you what discretionary authority is. And some registered investment advisory firms have discretion and some do not have discretion. Discretion means the investment advisor can act on your account without having to call you first. So a broker, a broker-dealer, a broker would have to call you to place an order or let you know, alert you. You need to know, not working under discretion. The investment advisors, if they're working under discretion, they don't have to call you to make a trade. Now, hopefully, when you're working with an investment advisor, you have a familiar relationship. You set up you know, some investment policies, so you know how you're working together. Hopefully it's been explained to you certain strategies that may be used. What kind of accounts are you establishing? Why are you establishing those particular accounts? Do you have an IRA? Do you have a Roth? Do you have individual accounts or joint accounts? And in that discretion, the investment advisor may see that you're drifting out of your risk tolerance, which is established typically at the beginning of the relationship and then periodically over time as your circumstances change. So as your risk tolerance changes, the strategies used may change. So you might, in your younger years, have been an aggressive investor, and over time, 20 years later, now maybe you're a little bit more moderate, and the investment advisor, as they're monitoring your accounts and see that your accounts maybe have become out of balance over time, maybe with market fluctuations, maybe you have a higher exposure to equities than what your current risk tolerance would dictate, so they would want to trade or sell some of the equities. So that would be with discretion. They wouldn't have to call you to do that. That still could be part of like an ongoing monitoring telephone call they might have with you, but it might not, line up just right, and they might make a change when they see something happening in the market. So that's discretionary authority. A registered investment advisor, though, may not have discretion, which means they do still need to call you and discuss the trades when they're making decisions about your account. You need to be alerted. So the client relationship summary is going to let you know what you have and, what your circumstances are. Any such summary must, back to the SEC, any such summary must include the specific circumstances. I already read that part. For investment advisors that offer non-discretionary services and broker-dealers, explain that the retail investor makes the ultimate decision regarding the purchase of sale or investments. That's a very clear distinction. So the retail investor in a non-discretionary relationship is the one who's making the ultimate decision. Broker dealers may, but are not required to state whether you accept limited discretionary authority. All right, so that's some of that information. Now, remember I mentioned the Form ADV Part 2. Part 2A talks about the registered investment advisory firm's business, ownership, what custodians they use, what fee schedules. That's one of the most important things. It's the fee schedule. And the ADV for registered investment advisory firms has always included the fee schedules. Broker dealers, the fees might be disclosed in a prospectus. You might, they might talk about the commissions, but ADV had always reported those. Now, with the customer relationship summary, those fees are going to be disclosed. So that is another area where the SEC said these things need to be disclosed. Now, as far as services, the relationship and the services, some other little items, additional information, include specific references to more detailed information about your services. At a minimum, include the same or equivalent information to that required by the Form ADV. So for people who are working with a registered investment advisory firm or investment advisor representative, some of this information is really going to be repetitive. But I think that even with that, the hope of the SEC was that it was going to be in an easier format to read in plain English. So we will we'll see how that works. Now, so the relationships and services. Now, the fees, costs, conflicts, and standard of conduct. This section is, I'm not going to read this whole section because this would be like a whole nother show because it's tiny, tiny print and it's about 2.5 pages. But when we come back from this next break, I'll try to give some of the highlights of that, and then we'll wrap up in the time we have left to just talk in general about making sure that you're understanding the investment professionals that you're working with and the expectations that you could have of them, and understanding what that is and how it impacts you and your financial decisions. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, give your question to Lori C. and she'll write it down and bring it in to me. We will be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY 88.1. We are discussing Regulation BI, or Best Interest, and the form CRS, or Customer Relationship Summary, that was instituted by the Securities and Exchange Commission. So the SEC came out with this. They started working on this some time ago. They adopted this package of rulemakings and interpretations to enhance the quality and transparency of retail investors' relationships with investment advisors and broker dealers, and brought some legal requirements and mandated disclosures in line with reasonable investor expectations. To kind of, you know, make sure that people understood what they were getting into. And they were enforced as of June 30th, 2020. They, all the investment advisor representatives and broker-dealers need to abide by this. Basically, the Regulation BI actually applies to the broker-dealers. So that's the broker-dealer side. And there's certain disclosures that they have to make. The form CRS, the SEC said both broker-dealers and registered investment advisors have to abide by the regulation for form CRS, which is the client relationship summary. And that is to be provided in a particular format. It has to be in plain English. It has to provide certain disclosures and Q&As, basically, I'm going to call it. They call it conversation starters. I call it, you know, kind of like format of a Q&A. And certain delivery requirements are made also. And the format has to cover several topics. One, which is the introduction, describing the financial professionals, how they work. Are they a registered as an investment advisor or are they a broker-dealer? It has to describe relationships and services. It has to describe fees, costs, conflicts, and standard of conduct, disciplinary history, and how you find out about that, and then some additional information as to how to find the advisor, the telephone number, and how to request that information. So we talked briefly, and I can't talk about all the details, all of this, just because I don't have enough time to do so, because I looked up the regulation, I think it was 175 pages. So in trying to make this easier, my goal tonight is just to raise awareness that you may be receiving this in the mail, and it might be worthwhile checking out and looking at, just to kind of make yourself familiar with this new form that's going to be provided. registered investment advisory firms have always had, I would say, significant disclosures that they've had to do, and it's called the brochure rule, the form ADV, if you've ever gone in to work with an investment advisor associated with a registered investment advisory firm, you will get a packet of information. Typically, you know, privacy policies, we're all used to looking at those and seeing those. But also that Form ADV has quite a wealth of information on it, and it is a required disclosure. So the SEC regulation that we're seeing, this Form CRS, quite often it's referring to the Form ADV. So it is trying to bring some of this to plain English, but it does still disclose some of the information that's already there that you would have already seen. As far as fees, costs, conflicts and standard of conduct, the question might be, what fee will I pay? And folks have to have a description of principal fees and costs, summarize the principal fees and costs that retail investors will incur for your brokerage or investment advisory services, including how frequently they're assessed and the conflicts of interest they create. Broker-dealers must describe their transaction-based fees. And with respect to addressing conflicts of interest, a broker-dealer could, for example, include a statement that a retail investor would be charged more when there are more trades in his or her account, and that the firm may therefore have an incentive to encourage a retail investor to trade often. Investment advisors must describe their ongoing asset-based fees, fixed fees, wrap fee programs, or other direct fee arrangement. The principal fees for investment advisory services should align with the type of fees that you report in response to your Form ADV Part 1A, Item 5E1. So you see all the regulations. It's crazy. But there's a point and a purpose to it, so I'm not discounting that. So you have to include the fees on the ADV. The CRS form can answer in the same way that the registered investment advisory firm already was responsible for disclosing on the ADV. So I'm kind of bringing this all back, that the registered investment advisory business had been having disclosures for a very long time. I think, again, there were these arguments that were being brought up that registered investment advisory firms and their investment advisor representatives had been held to this fiduciary standard for a very long time. And they kind of, is there some infighting with the broker dealers who are saying they're advisors when they weren't being held to the same standard? They were being held to a suitability standard, which is very different than a fiduciary standard, which was to act in the best interest of the client. But there still remains conflicts, is what the SEC is saying. But isn't there a conflict when, you know, the conflict being, if you come work with me, you're going to be paying me fees. Well, if you work on your own by yourself, you might not be paying those same kind of fees. But just understand, you could be working with a broker-dealer who may charge fees I want to be careful what I say here. If you're thinking you're working with a financial advisor who's giving you one set of services and you don't realize they're just a broker, they're just doing suitability in the past, then they may not be providing the same kind of monitoring or financial planning that you might have provided by a registered investment advisor. Okay, I had a phone call from someone who didn't give their name. She said, thank you for explaining social distancing at WDIY. Glad to know that, and think many listeners are glad to know WDIY is taking such measures. Well, thank you very much for calling in about that. Yes, it's Shandi, as we speak, is wiping down every surface in the studio with this disinfecting wipe. So yes, we have been very careful. At WDIY, we have a very dedicated volunteer group of people who I think some have been here a very long time. Tom Druckenmiller, who's coming up next, has been here for a very long time, and some of us not as long. I've been here over 10 years. Shandi, I'm not sure how long Shandi's been. 2 years. But it's an effort that we like to make for this studio. It's a great group of people, a great group of volunteers, and we appreciate being here and in the community and making a difference. So thank you for calling in and saying that. Yes, we're being very careful because we want to keep bringing all this information to you. So folks, there is just a lot of information in that filing, and it might seem overwhelming. It's almost overwhelming for me to try to even explain it to you. So I think I'm just going to kind of close out the next 5 minutes of the show, just reiterating that the client relationship summary will be coming in the mail. If you are someone who has invested and you may be working with a broker dealer or you may be working with a registered investment advisor, typically the difference is the broker dealer is taking transaction fees or commissions on trades, and the investment advisor is taking a fee based on the assets that they're managing. Typically, that investment advisory relationship is going to feel a little bit differently than it might on the broker-dealer side. On the registered investment advisory side, typically you're seeing kind of more services, which would be disclosed in that form CRS as to what services the investment advisor representative is providing, such as, and they've mentioned it specifically in the SEC, financial planning, monitoring, and recommendations of different types of accounts to use and things like that. All right. So, folks, as we go through the rest of the summer, if you have topic ideas, ideas of things you'd like to hear me talk about on the show or cover or guests that you would like to have here, please, you can send those through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com, and let me know. Give me an idea of what you'd like to hear about. Last week, I did a show on retirement planning, and the week before that, I had done a show on covering all the different topics. Well, not all of them. I just picked out a few over the years of some of the topics that we've talked about from time to time, and topics hopefully that are important to you in making your financial choices. It can make such an impact on your day-to-day ability to meet your goals if you have a little bit of information. When I talk to people, I say you may be making great decisions all on your own, and that's wonderful, and you could be good to go. But how often are there little hints and tips that could just make a difference in your ability to make, that difference in your own financial life? I just mentioned to someone again just recently when I saw that they make $4,000 a year charitable contributions. They don't itemize their deductions because the standard deduction is so high right now. But they also sold a lot of investments, and without talking to me ahead of time. And when you have $60,000 of capital gains on your tax return and you're someone who gives $4,000 a year to charity, if we had, instead of giving the $4,000 cash to charity, bundled up maybe 5, 6, 7, 10 years worth of giving, 10 years, $4,000, that's $40,000. Sounds like a lot, folks, I know. But in certain circumstances, when people have highly appreciated securities or want to reduce their exposure in some way, there could be options for you. And one way to do that might be through charitable giving. That could be, provide some tax relief for them in 1 year, and then they do their charitable giving ongoing through a donor advised fund. That may make sense for some people. And if, again, these people were doing really, really well on their own, but with just a little tweaking here and there, we might have been able to save them a little bit more money. And it's in sometimes counting the pennies and the nickels that we really get ahead, when we're really paying attention to some of the details of our financial life to make a difference in reaching all of our goals. So if you have ideas of things that you'd like to talk about, please don't feel shy about sending them through the website again at yourfinancialchoices.com. And if you have questions, I'm opening to answering those questions, and I don't hound you afterwards either. Some people probably think I will, you know, be following up. Nope, I follow up with the answer, and that's about it. So, Jim, if you're listening, you have a question that I am waiting to answer, which I will by the end of the evening, so you can watch out for that. But I hope that we do provide some educational information each week here. It is very important for me to be able to do that, and I appreciate our listening audience and your feedback and your questions every week. When you call in, it makes a big difference to us, and it makes a big difference to WDIY to know that you continue to support us and the programming that we have here as well. So again, I want to remind folks, I've mentioned next week I'm going to have Carrie Ward, a realtor with the Frederick Group, and we're going to talk about real estate in the Valley, the overview and tips. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Thank you, Lori, for being here. Thank you, Shandi, for being here. Thank you, listeners, for listening. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.